All right. I appreciate the good Lord kindness to us today. Appreciate what I've heard thus far in this meeting. Going to be looking here, I know, for this hour, in Genesis chapter 15. And I want to look at a scripture in, we flip into here after a while in the book of Matthew, chapter number 13. Genesis chapter 15 and Matthew chapter number 13. Genesis chapter 15, and I'll begin reading here in verse number 1, dealing here with the life of Abram and Abraham. And we know, as reading in the New Testament books, and especially in the book of Hebrews, we know that he was the father of faith. God called him out of the land of the Chaldeans, and by faith he believed God. And just went on out and fought after God. What a man of faith, and what lessons of faith we can learn from him by looking into his life through the Word of God. And so here, this particular point in Abram's life, he has been given the promises from God to be able to bless all nations. He's been given a promise from God that he'll have a seed that would be as many and multitude as the numbers of the sands on the seashores and as the stars in the skies. And so we know here that God has made some sure promises to Abram. And we find here he's just gone forth and rescued Lot out of a place of destruction. And but let's look here in chapter 15 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another. But the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said to Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come thither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. It came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. And that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed I have given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, river Euphrates, and the Kenites and the Kizzites and the Kadamites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Hephramites and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Gershonites and the Jebusites. I'll pause our reading there at the final chapter of chapter 15, but I want you to look and notice this now, that Abram has believed God enough to leave his father's house, leave behind everything that he knows. He's following after the God of heaven. God has promised him some things. God has made it very clear, very, very precise, that I'm going to give you a seed. I'm going to give you an inheritance that's beyond the number of the stars. Hey, and Abraham believed God. And in that belief, he trusted God. And he said, you know what? He said, I believe exactly what you say is going to happen. I believe exactly, God, what you said is going to come to pass. I believe in you. And then he takes, as God had said, to make this covenant with land and with the promise of his seed. In those days, they would take these sacrifices and they were to divide them in half. And so everything God ordered there, from the heifer, the she-goats, and the ram, the turtle doves, and all those, he cut in half. And he laid one half of the she-goat on this side and the other half on the other, the heifer the same way, all the way down through the line. And it was so that when two was to join and make a covenant, they were to join hand in hand and walk down through the middle of those pieces. And when they got to the end, they'd walk through the blood. They'd walk through the both of those dividing pieces of those sacrificed animals. And it was a covenant that was so sure it could not be broken. And so God here has spoke to Abraham. He's already told him what's going to happen. He's already said to him, Abraham's already believed it. And now Abrams, he's got the peace on this side. He's prepared everything for the covenant, everything to seal the deal, so to speak. And throughout the entire day, verse 11 says, and when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Right. And the Lord this morning has got on my heart a little thought on simply shooing the birds away. Amen. These birds were contrary to what Abram was doing. And so I ask you to help me to pray this morning. Help us to look at this text and help God to speak to our hearts. Father in heaven, thank you for your kindness to us today. Thank you for the grace of God this morning. Thank you for leading me to this passage this morning. God, I need your help this morning, Lord. And I know and confess openly, God, I have no ability of myself to preach, Lord. I have no power of myself, God, to make anything clear, Lord. I pray this morning, God, that you would, Lord, please, I pray, have mercy upon us and send your power and grace, God. Maybe to those, Lord, here, Lord, this morning, or those, Lord, here and across the waves, God, would you please, I pray, manifest yourself, God, now, and help and give good direction, Lord, I pray, in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Thank you for praying. Abram had come to grips and understand that, yes, it was God that called him out. He'd understand and believe it was God that was going to bless him, even to the point of his frailty, where he said, you know, he looked at himself and sees an older man and says, I've looked at my tent, and just want to remind you, God, by the way, there is no seed in my tent. except this one that I've had through one of my servants and said, is this going to be my heir? And God says, no, I want to remind you one more time that that one's not going to be it. But I promised you it's going to come from you. I'm going to bless your seed. I'm going to bless your family. And they're going to be seen. He said, let's go for a walk. God and Abram go for a walk hand in hand. It's a night walk. He says, look up at the stars and try to, I mean, can you number them all? And Abram says, no, I can't even begin to start counting. I mean, I've tried before myself, laid on my back at night sometimes, and I'll try, you can't count them all. They're all up there, but you can't get them all. And here's Abram. And by the way, there's billions more we can't even see with our naked eye. And God said, hey, all of them up there that you can see, you can't even count them, but there's even more beyond that. And he said, that's going to be your inheritance. That's going to be your seed. And verse 6 says, and he believed in the Lord. At that point in Abram's life, it was a settled deal. At that point for Abram, I mean, everything was settled. God said it, he believed it, and that was it. Then he finds himself here. He's got the half the heifer on this side. He's got the she-goats cut in half. He's got everything as God had asked for. The ram of 3 years, he's got that sliced in half. He's gathered up the turtle doves and the pigeons, and he's got everything just ready. And as he's waiting throughout the dawn of that day, throughout the entirety of the day, he's waiting for God to come keep his end of the bargain up. Now, in this time frame, because of the odor, because of the death, because of the blood of these animals and these part of this covenant deal, the files, the birds of the air, these buzzards and vultures have begun to circle around. Y'all seen buzzards and how they get in circles and out and they come down. You can tell where somebody's maybe hit a deer or something. The same situation here with Abram. They've begun now to light upon the carcasses. And Abram, he's busied himself all day running to him. He's exhausted himself. He's allowed these birds to mess with his thinking, so to speak, and he's chased them off all day long. He'd see them light on the heifer side, and he'd run and try to shoo them away. And as soon as he got them shooed away, there's some on that side that's now landing, and he's trying to shoo them away. It's back and forth all day long. He's got himself so frazzled and so worn out and so exhausted, striving and trying to keep the birds away. As if God's promises relies on his ability. Now, so we see here Abram in this frustration of trying to shoo these birds away. I want to ask you a question this morning. Has God ever promised you anything? Has God spoke to your heart and maybe said something like this? And in prayer, he's let himself be known in a real way and said, I'm going to save your children. I'm going to restore your home. I'm going to save your grandchildren. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to multiply and bless your ministry. I'm going to do a great work for your life. I'm going to use you for my honor and glory. And yet we find ourselves at that place of that moment when God has spoken this truth to our heart. We say, yes, God, I believe that. I believe it. Oh, it's so real and so full of God and so full of life. And we say, yes, I believe, Lord. only to find ourselves on down the path shooing the birds away. Wondering, why hasn't God, just like Abram, Lord, why hasn't it happened yet? Why hasn't what You promised me been fulfilled yet? Why, God? And it's this frustration and this... But let's look at these birds. What exactly is Abram shooing away? These fowls of the air have taunted him. These fowls of the air have boggled his thinking towards God. Will God show up? Is He going to come? Shoo away, birds! Shoo away! It's back and forth, exhaustion, the tired, the striving. Here, we have before us the Word of God. It is quick and powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Here we know that the Word of God is full of truth. Matthew chapter 13 shed some light on what these birds are. There's a parable here in the Word of God. And it goes something like this. It says, another parable in verse 31, put He forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and it becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So let's just pause a minute on Abram and his situation. And look here at this parable Jesus tells. He's saying that the kingdom of heaven is likened to a mustard seed. He said that when it is sown, it grows up and it is the greatest among herbs. And then He says something here that is so amazingly, it's almost unbelievable. He said, and it becometh a tree. Now, if we go back to Genesis chapter 1, and we know that when God is creating the creation on this planet, He's making the waters, the firmament from above and the waters below. He's made the sun to shine, and the sun to rule by day, the moon to rule by night. And He goes on down and He says, and herb-yielding seed after its kind. And trees will produce their kind. And so now, it's basic, simple truth. If I have got some watermelon seeds and I put them in the ground, I don't sit back and expect to pick some apples in several months. I know if I'm going to plant a watermelon is going to come up. Same principle here in Genesis 1. He said that the herbs are going to bring forth another herb. And but yet here in the Word of God, it says that this herb becomes a tree. Now, this little herb, this mustard herb, at its full maturity, it is about 14 inches tall. And it has such great properties to distinguish itself amongst all the herbs. It's even used today in more things than just mustard. But the actual oil of the mustard plant is so powerful. It cannot be contained in just every type of container. The same containers that they use to ship crude oil in cannot contain the mustard oil. It's got such diffusing properties that it will leach its way through that container. It cannot be contained. It cannot be stopped. And so we know that this mustard oil was used to help the sickness in someone's body they was bruised or sick, they would rub the oil in that area and it would liven the skin again, bring the blood to the surface and basically chase down the poison, make everything all better again. It was a lowly, humble plant. I believe it was a type and pictures the church. A lowly, humble state, small but yet very powerful. And thank God it cannot be stopped, thank God. No matter how big or how small we are, thank God we cannot be stopped, thank God. There is power in the body of Christ, thank God. And the Bible says that Jesus put all things under His feet. And if the feet's part of the body, and thank God we're the body of Christ, then all principalities, all wickedness, all darkness is already under our feet, thank God. We go into every battle already a victor because of Christ, thank God. It cannot be stopped. Thank God for the local church, thank God. This little congregation here on Clancy Road, thank God, in Salisbury, North Carolina, may think you're not much, but I know God sees otherwise. He sees Christ. It cannot be stopped, thank God. This body of Christ, this mustard plant here, it says it becomes a tree. It becometh a tree. It's amazing when we look over the history of the church, how that what it started out to be is not what it's looking like today. It has become something it was never intended to be. The church was never intended to be a place of recreation. It was never intended to be a place of entertainment. It was a place where the gospel, the power of God, could be preached. It was a place where the body of Christ could be edified and grown in grace. It was a picture of Jesus Christ Himself. But in our day, it's become something it's not intended to be. And because it becometh a tree, the Bible says that when it becometh a tree, that it shot out branches. And on these large branches, the Bible says that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. These birds are enemies of the gospel. This same chapter, if you go back with me and look at the beginning of chapter 13, we know Jesus speaks of another parable. It's saying that He goes forth to sow and sows seed, goes forth to sow. And He said, and when He sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. It all goes back to a simple truth on allowing God to run His church. What a simple truth that is. Without trying to become something that it's not. When we get to that place where when the church becomes something that it was never intended to be, you find that it grows to a place where it only welcomes the birds. As long as the church is a tree, you'll always have birds. And these birds are robbing the church of power. That these birds are about the destruction. Every time the Word of God speaks about fowls, even in the Book of Revelation, it relates to foul spirits of the damned and devils. And so I want you to know and allow us to have our focus on Christ and what He Himself has promised us. If there's going to be a turning in our day, it'll be when we look to God, the author and the finisher of our faith, thank God. Here's what the Lord said to Abram. And he's been running. He's been chasing. He's been trying to get all this stuff done. He's been trying to shoo the birds away. He's been trying to say, oh me, oh God, is he going to keep your end of the bargain up? God, are you going to do it? And then God causes Abram to go in such a deep, dark sleep. And while he's sleeping, God walks through those pieces by himself. In other words, he's saying, Abram, just in the weakness of your flesh, you might not be able to keep up your end of the bargain. But I just want to let you know that I'm God, and I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do, and I'm going to keep my promise. And I'm going to do it, thank God. And whether you're going to struggle, whether you're going to strive, whether you're going to try and go and do and try to shoo all the birds away in your life, God said, hey, I'm still going to do what I said I'm going to do, thank God. He said there in verse 1, he said, I am thy shield, my exceeding great reward. He said, it's me. Don't rely on yourself or your self-effort or what you can do, but rely on me. I can do it. I'll get the job done. I'm going to bring to pass what I said I would. I'm going to fulfill what I promised you. So I want to tell you this morning in a very short way that God's going to do what He said He's going to do, thank God. He will impact the world with you. He will use your life in the way He said He would. Thank God. He will save your loved ones like He said He would. He will restore your home like He said He would. You don't got to shoo the birds away. You don't got to go here to and fro. You can rest in Christ. Knowing He's your shield. Knowing He's your strength. Knowing He's your protector, thank God. He will do it, thank God. Woo! Thank God. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. Thank God. Thank God. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. I'm going to say, Abram here, he is the father of faith. Job 28:7 says, you might say, preacher, these birds just keep haunting me. They keep troubling my thinking. I get victory in prayer that God's going to do it. When I get out there a little ways, I feel like they're all coming on me again. I want to just say real quickly, Job 28:7 says, he says, there is a path that the fowls... There is a path which the fowls know not, and the vulture's eye hath not seen. Woo! Thank God. Hey, there's a place I can walk in by faith, thank God. I can walk on by faith. Let the birds come if they want to. Let everybody else do the way they want to. I know what's right, what God's put in my heart, and what God's promised me. I can walk on in the past where the fowls don't even know where it's at. The vulture's eyes never even seen it, thank God. I can just walk on for the glory of God. Woo! Thank God. The faith that God gave us at salvation is the same faith God gives us to walk through this Christian life. Let's look here in the book of Colossians, chapter 2. Colossians chapter number 2. Look at verse number 6. What does it say? As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. There's a great truth here. It says, walk ye in Him. So I'm walking in Christ, but how am I going to do that? As ye have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in Him. I receive God. I receive Christ by grace through faith. It was by His grace that He would even give me a gift of faith. to believe it himself. Thank God. And so thank God. The same grace that God gave me faith with to believe in His Son is the same faith that I walk through this Christian life with. I can face anything. I can walk through anything, thank God. Because the faith God gave me is that same faith that I walk in Christ. Ooh. It's already been done. It's already taken place. If we can get a hold of how God sees us this morning, we'd tear this place apart. If we knew that when God sees us, He sees His only begotten Son. Hey, we know that we're positioned in Christ, seated with Him in the heavenlies. We would know, thank God, we can walk through anything. We can trust God. We can believe God. That whatever He says, He will do it, thank God. Whatever this book says, it will come to pass. And I want to say, what a great day for the church to be that lowly, humble mustard plant. Giving out the balm to those that are hurting. Helping the ones that are wounded. No matter what government mandates are put on it, it can't be stopped. It just keeps going out. Hey, thank God. I appreciate that. But we know that calamity is coming. We know that trouble's coming. But we know it's not going to get better. It's going to keep getting worse. We know that. But hey, it's not for me to pull back into my little cave and say, oh, what are we going to do? No, we know. It's okay. There's a path that the birds don't know about, thank God. We can walk on it, thank God, by faith, and walk on in victory, and walk on in power, and wave the old bloodstained banner, and say thank God, and keep sending out preaching, and keep letting God do it, thank God, and keep bringing glory and honor to our dear Lamb and Savior, Jesus Christ. Woo, thank God. What a Savior today. Abram just walked on by faith. Then God changed his name to Abraham. Abraham is what He called him. There in Genesis chapter 1 when it said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. You know what that is in the Hebrew? It's a word that means ruach. That simply means God breathed. That because when the Jews say that they pronounce it and you feel it. Yeah, I was over there, you know, several times when they talk to you and they say that ruach, you actually feel the breath come out of them when they say it. So when God changed Abram's name to Abraham, He said, "I think I'll just breathe on you a while." Woo! Thank God. Hey, these birds might be coming left and right. I'll be coming from every direction, but thank God I can walk a path of faith. Thank God knowing He's going to be with me. He's going to stay with me. He's not going to leave nor forsake me. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Thank God. Bless His good name. What a Savior today. Hallelujah to the King this morning. Abram, he walked on. His seed progressed. Isaac had his children, Esau and Jacob. Jacob could come along, that old deceiver, that old supplanter, trying to he deceived his daddy, deceived all the others there. Kept on, his seed just kept coming. You know, even in Jacob, there was such a resilience to. There was such a resilience. There was such a defiance. There was such a wall up to the point where you think maybe the seed's going to stop here. Maybe God made a mistake in His promise. I mean, He's deceived his brother out of his birthright. Is this the seed of God? Is this the holy seed of God? He deceived his father. His father said, "Who are you?" And he said, "I'm Esau." Had on the goatskin on his hands, on his neck. And he deceived him. And then he goes on into Laban's country. Even deceives Laban. Gets two of his girls and a whole bunch of his livestock. What are this? I mean, is this the seed of God? But lo and behold, at the brook Jabbok, there wrestled a man with him. Thank God. Thank God. Just God just showed up one day and said, "You're not going the way I want you to go. And I'm going to have to get you to submit to my way." And got to wrestling with him. Jacob don't know who it is. For all he knows, it might be one of Esau's 400 henchmen coming after him. This man's wrestling with Jacob over and over. All Jacob's done is deceive and trick. And this is the seed that God promised Abraham here in chapter 15. God said, Jacob, so full of self, said, "I will let you go till you bless me." That's something. What an arrogant man. "I don't know who you are, but you won't let me, God. Hey, you have to bless me and get down below me." And God said, God stopped his wrestling. God stopped it all with one question. He said, "What's your name?" When his daddy asked him, he said, "I'm Esau." "What's your name?" He said, "I'm Jacob. I'm the deceiver. I'm the surplanter. I'm the one that's tricked everybody. It's me." When he got to that place, boy, God could continue to use him. Abram's seed just kept on going, didn't it? Got down to Jacob, all his sons, Joseph, kept on going, just all down through the Exodus. Moses led him out, just as God promised here he would. Chapter 15. Such God. All the way down to... That God would even allow Gentiles to be grafted in. Our part of the seed. I want to tell you, friend of mine, whatever God's promised you, He will. God will be the same God He is to you as He was to Abram. Hey, you can put it in the bank, friend. Whatever God's promised your heart, whatever He's told you, you can rest assured that God will keep His end up. I want to encourage you this morning not to struggle, not to strive of trying to produce it ourselves, not trying to accomplish what God said, you know, He would do ourselves, but let's just continue to rest in Christ and allow Him to do it. I appreciate what Hebrews chapter 4 says, when it says Hebrews chapter 4, what a wonderful truth, where He begins to speak about rest and speaks to these men and helps them to understand. You know, you don't have to try to fight and try to. He said, "And in this place, if they shall enter into my rest, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." We can enjoy Christ. And God's going to do what He said He's going to do. And in that state of mind of rest, in that state of mind of walking on by faith, you know what we can do, even this chapter here? We can let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, where we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in time of need. We're her son. Father in heaven, thank you for your kindness to us today. Thank you for the grace of God. Thank you for your mercy today, Lord. I pray, Lord, there'll be someone here this morning, God. Lord, just maybe just doubt about a promise you've given. Maybe, Lord, just fear or even unbelief, God. Would you please, I pray, have mercy on them, God. And you'd help us, Lord, to know that we can press on by faith. We can look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you for being so good to us this morning. Lord, I pray for those, Lord, that listen maybe on the radio. Lord, I pray you speak their heart too, Lord. Maybe that there's some pastor this morning, God. He's trying to do his own thing, Lord. All he's making is a tree. Would you please, I pray, Lord. Please, I pray, help him to look to you. Lord,
I thank you so much for your mercy and grace upon us this morning. I love you, Lord. Lord, have control of our life. Have control, Lord, of our ministry. Have control of every bit of it, God. Bless this church in a special way, Lord. We love you. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.